For 2,000 years, Christians have turned to the Bible for answers to questions about death and loss and love and grief. But 20th century archaeological discoveries, coupled with new biblical scholarship, have made the Bible a more complex document than ever before. Biblical scholar Elaine Pagels has written several award-winning books on the Gnostic Gospels, the Gospels that were left out of the official New Testament. Her new book, Beyond Belief, explores the teachings of what Pagels calls the secret gospel of Thomas. Pagels told Steve Paulson it's a text written by one of Jesus' disciples with a message that early church fathers tried to suppress.
It begins with the words, "These are the secret sayings which the living Jesus spoke," and Judas Thomas wrote them down. So it's just a list of sayings of Jesus. And in this gospel, the question, "Who is Jesus?" is answered in saying 77, in which Jesus says, "I am the light that is before all things. I am all things. All things come forth from me. All things come back to me. Split a piece of wood, and I am there. Lift up the rock, and you will find me." So this just suggests that Jesus is a kind of voice for the divine energy, the light that was in the beginning, according to the book of Genesis.
But that's very different than Jesus saying he is the Son of God.
Well, it is. It is. And according to this text, which has a great deal in common with the other Gospels, the good news, which is what gospel means, is you too come forth from that light. Because in this text, there's a saying in which Jesus says, if they say to you, "Who are you?" say, "We are children of the light." And if they say, "Where do you come from?" say, "We come from the light, the place where the light came into being in the beginning." And the message of this text, the good news, is that from that divine source, all beings come forth, not just human beings, but rocks and stones, everything that is.
Now, you make the case in your book, Beyond Belief, that the Gospel of John was then written to counteract this message of Thomas.
I was very startled when I realized that. You know, having read the Gospel of John for, you know, I've read it before, like many, as many of us have. And I suddenly realized that this Gospel, which sounds like it's Jesus declaiming, you know, he's saying things like, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the light, I am the divine," you know. And according to the Gospel of John, the answer to the question, "Who is Jesus?" is he is the divine sort of in person. The bad news, of course, is that you and I are not. And according to John, the good news is that you can be saved from dying in sins if you believe in him.
Now, I suppose the implications of these two different interpretations of Jesus could be enormous. I mean, on the one hand, in the Gospel of John, there's the message Jesus is God, but in human form. I mean, Jesus is the one and only, whereas Thomas is saying that, well, Jesus is the light. It's not nearly so specific as putting Jesus up on a pedestal. And I suppose it raises the question of whether Jesus is divine at all.
Well, you know, the Gospel of John also uses the image of light. I mean, Jesus says in chapter 8, "I am the light of the world." But you got the critical point, which is that John says Jesus is the only one, right? And the one word that the Gospel of John is always using for Jesus, and only the Gospel of John, will say, he is the only Son of God, the unique Son of God. The Greek word means the only, unique, one of a kind. And the point of John saying that is to counter the kind of teaching that says all beings come forth from the same source. Now, it may not be obvious that we have the divine image in us. You see, it's not the same as saying we're all God. I mean, that would be pretty almost trivial. But what it says is that humans are made in the divine image, and the divine image is understood to be this energy, this light energy. And so it says that that divine source of energy is hidden within all of us. What we need to do is discover it.
Now, I suppose these must have been pretty important questions in the first few centuries. I mean, before Christianity was accepted in the Roman Empire, before Constantine became a Christian himself, because Christians were persecuted then. And so how you define a Christian must have been incredibly important.
It was very important for the movement, and so much so that many leaders of the church, you know, wrote massive attacks on people who taught this kind of thing. And it doesn't work very well for forming group boundaries, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you want to build a church, you don't teach that everyone has the divine light within them. You might instead say something like, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. And that means that if you want to find your way to God, you better go to Jesus. And if you want to go to Jesus, you better go to the local church that teaches that kind of thing.
And I suppose if you are a persecuted minority, it does make sense to establish clear boundaries so that you have a solid sense of your own identity.
That's a very important point. You know, I realized it's not some kind of conspiracy theory that leaders of the church were trying to stamp out the free thinkers, but they were in a situation of trying to have the movement survive, quite simply, under enormous and horrendous pressure, seeing their friends tortured and imprisoned and executed for the sake of this faith. And so the question of how do you consolidate it? How do you make a formula that everybody can agree on, a sort of simple litmus test, you're in or you're out? And the Gospel of John does that very well.
Well, suppose the Gospel of Thomas had been included in the New Testament, that this was part of the Bible that we have read for the last 2,000 years. Would we interpret the story of Jesus very differently? Would we think about what it means to be a Christian differently?
I don't know. It probably would be, as the Gospels are now, a kind of collage of several pictures of Jesus put together, you know? What it would do is open up the path of seeking and searching yourself within yourself to find spiritual truth in the way that the Gospels we have now often aren't read to do. I mean, often the Gospel of John, for example, says, you know, you believe this and you'll be saved. It doesn't say, go out and discover for yourself the truth. It says, all truth is revealed in Jesus. We witness it. All you have to do is believe it. You may have no evidence, but you have to distrust your own experience and trust our witness. And I think that's a great, I think it's unfortunate that the emphasis on spiritual discovery is not encouraged as it is in the Gospel of Thomas. More often, it's closed and shut, and people are told that their own experience doesn't matter. They should just sort of shut up and believe it.
Well, it seems to me what you're doing with this scholarship is you're kind of throwing a bone to all of those lapsed Christians out there who, for whatever reason, they just, you know, they grew up with the church, but they somehow became alienated. It seemed too rigid, and they found themselves stuck. Maybe they've dabbled in Buddhism or Jewish mysticism, and it's very alluring, but, you know, they weren't raised as Buddhists or Jews. You know, they were raised as Christians, and they want to be Christian, but they don't know how to feel good about being Christian.
Well, yes, and you know, it may not be necessary to be a Christian simply. That is, I find I love some things about Buddhist tradition and mystical Jewish tradition. In fact, I think the Gospel of Thomas is a form of mystical Jewish tradition. But I find that my native language is English, and my cultural language is, you know, Western and Christian. And so those images, those stories appeal to me very deeply at a very deep level. And I find I resonate to them. And through working on this book, I found ways to love and appreciate this tradition without feeling some kind of burden that I had to believe it all.
Do you consider yourself a Christian?
That's a good question. What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I'm going to let you answer that.
I'm somebody who loves this tradition and I participate in it. But that doesn't exclude participating in other traditions.
Well, do you go to a Christian church?
I do sometimes, and I love it sometimes when I go. I go to several, actually. I belong to a church which happens to be an Episcopal church. They have very good music. That's a great reason. But also, I know some Cistercian monks whose paths are very remarkable and who are teachers of meditation. And there are other forms of religious tradition that I also find I'm very much attuned to. I just happen to like it very much, this dimension. It's very much akin to loving music or poetry because it really is about a kind of poetry. I mean, I was brought up to think religion was going to die off as soon as people were scientific enough not to need it anymore. And so I've been asking myself, why are people still religious? Why am I still susceptible to all of this? And I'm coming to see that it's part of the way our brain makes meaning. It's part of the way we dream. You know, we don't dream very differently than people did 2,000 years ago. And this is almost a kind of form of cultural dream exploration.
Elaine Pagels won the National Book Award for her book on the Gnostic Gospels. She spoke with Steve Paulson about her new book, Beyond Belief, The Secret Gospel of Thomas.